closed, and he drifted back into blessed sleep. When he woke again, there was a blonde young man in a white smock standing beside his bed. He had a stethoscope hanging around his neck. Must be a doctor, Charlie thought. How do you feel? He asked. Where am I? Charlie mumbled. The doctor grinned at him. I asked you first, but if you must know, you're in Missoula Community Hospital.
Missoula? How'd I get to Missoula?
Snowplow found you. Called the highway patrol. They took you here.
When? How long?
6 hours ago, said the doctor. His cheerful expression sobered. I'm afraid we had to take 4 of your toes. They were pretty severely frostbitten. We saved your fingers, though.
My wife, Charlie said. My kids.
The doctor nodded and patted Charlie's covers.
We'll talk about them later. Right now we've got to do some diagnostics on you. You were in pretty bad shape when they brought you in here.
But Martha, Charlie Jr., little Martha.
Later, the doctor said. Later.
Able 1, Galley.
Now, how do we go about finding which one of your people tried to screw up this flight?
Harry stared at Colonel Christopher. She was deadly serious.
It had to be one of your people, Mr. Hartounian, she insisted. You know them a hell of a lot better than I do.
Think, Harry demanded silently of himself.
Well, Colonel Christopher prodded.
Whoever it was, Harry said slowly, thinking it out as he spoke, did it while he thought we were on a routine test flight.
You already told me that.
Which means he did it for money. Not to stop us from shooting down the Gook missiles. He didn't know we were going against real missiles when he sabotaged the ranging laser. He's not a spy. He's not working for the North Koreans or some other nation.
He? Why not she?
Harry shook his head. I just can't picture Taki doing it. Hell, she almost took my head off when I merely suggested the possibility.
Maybe she protests too much, Christopher countered.
The best kind of defense is a good offense. Rubbing with finger and thumb at the ache growing between his eyes, Harry went back to his reasoning. Whoever did it to give Anson Aerospace a black eye. Did it for one of Anson's competitors. Did it for money. The colonel nodded encouragingly.
Okay. Okay, so which of your nerds has come into some extra money lately?
Closing his eyes, Harry thought aloud. Wally likes to bet on the football pools, but he's just penny ante, small time.
The Hispanic kid? Christopher prompted.
Angel? He's strictly a straight arrow. 4 kids, nice wife.
Mortgage, debts, college tuitions, with 4 kids,
Harry cut her off. They're all in elementary school. And Angel's working on them to get baseball scholarships by the time they're ready for college.
Still,
it's not Angel.
That leaves the big guy.
Monk.
Has he come into some extra money recently?
Harry leaned back tiredly in the bucket seat. The plane was still shuddering, but the shaking didn't seem to be getting worse. Are we going to make it to Japan? He asked. Colonel Christopher smiled tightly.
If I have to get out and push.
Harry smiled weakly.
Now what about this Monk guy?
Has he been flashing some extra money around lately? Bought a new house, maybe? Shaking his head, Harry replied, Hell, Monk's been living in the same dinky bungalow since I've known him. Hasn't bought a new car in years. Drives a beat-up old Chrysler. His voice tailed off. Harry remembered that Monk's wife had bought herself a Mustang convertible. Fire engine red,